the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm sure you've heard it said that if you're a young man dating a young woman and you go to the home, there's one thing that you don't talk about, that is politics and religion. Isn't that right? You've heard something like that anyway. And when you get together with your family at Thanksgiving, I was reminded of that again just a few days ago, that you don't do that with your family either. And a preacher should know that there's one thing he shouldn't talk about. That is money. Money. We need your money. I'm not going to say that. What I will say, though, is that you need to give your money. You need to give your money. And not be selfish with what God has given you. Deacon Jeffrey Seraphim just read to us the gospel lesson from Luke 18, where we heard about a rich young ruler. A rich man, lots of money, lots of possessions, and a young man with his life ahead of him, lots of vigor and strength, and a ruler. I'm not sure what he ruled, but maybe he was getting ready to be the ruler of a synagogue. I don't know. And this rich young ruler comes to Jesus. And I have to think that there was something in his heart that was genuine when he said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the reason I think that is because in Mark's gospel, after the rich young ruler says, I've kept all these commandments, Lord. In Mark's gospel, we read that Jesus, looking on him, loved him. Jesus loved this rich young ruler. So what Jesus has to say to him is said from the depths of a heart of love for this man. We read, Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." And he said, "You know the commandments." And then the rich young ruler says, "Lord, I've kept all these from my youth." Well, as we go into the story, you're going to find that there's the first and last commandment, and maybe some of those in between he really didn't keep. What is the first commandment? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, and thy mind, and thou shalt have no other gods before me." What was the God in this rich man's life? What came before God? It was his riches, his money. And what did he want more than anything? What did he covet in life? More riches, money, possessions. And how do we know that? The Messiah, the Savior, the King of the Kingdom of God was standing right in front of him. God in the flesh is standing right in front of him and says, "One thing you lack." Remember, this is God speaking to him, the one who he claims to worship, the one who he claims there is none before him. there's God in the flesh standing right in front of him. And the Lord says to him, there's one thing. Sell your possessions. Sell all that you have. Give to the poor. And then follow me. So you know the story. He couldn't do it. He either couldn't or he wouldn't. I don't know. He wouldn't, probably because he couldn't. But he had something in his life that held him bondage. And Christ comes as the liberator. Christ comes as the one to free us from sin and from the grip of death itself. And he couldn't let go. He could not accept the Savior, the one who came to save him. You know, I think, well, you know, there's all kinds of other things that Christ has saved us from. Certainly, it isn't just that he saved us from the grip of covetousness and the love of money. You know, it's interesting that if you read through the Bible, especially the New Testament, and you listen to what Jesus teaches and what he says, and what the apostles teach and what they say, you're going to find that they talk a lot more about wealth, about money, than they talk about faith. So let's not just put this off on a rich young ruler. Say, well, I'm not rich. I'm not young. Well, some of you are quite young. You've got an awful lot of vigor. But maybe you're not a ruler. You say, well, that's him. That's not me. I remember Dr. Olsendorf when we were studying at Reformed Bible College. And when he got kind of excited, his ears would start to shake a little bit. And one of the times he's saying, you know, we can say that we don't have a lot of money. Look at maybe even Amish people can say, well, I don't have all those luxuries in our culture. You know, we don't have electricity or running water, or we don't have these cars or whatever. But he says, what about those carriages and horses that they have? They're so proud of those, just as much as we are proud of our cars. And I say, ooh. But Dr. O had an insight there. He was not saying that they're all that way, but they can. Just as much as you or I like my bike, and I want to have another one. I told the kids, I say, if I get too close to buying another bike, just whack me in the head and wake me up. I don't need another bike. But I so much want one. I went with my friend Fred to the bike shop last week. And Fred and I had the same problem. He loves biking too. Oh, and I even rode one. And, oh, I shouldn't have done that. My bike is fine. Just remind me of that. How does that relate to all this? You're rich. You are rich, please. Spend some time living in a third world country and tell me you're not rich, please. We are rich. And let's say that we don't have a whole lot. Maybe we struggle in this life. Where should the true riches of your life be anyway? Let us be rich in mercy. What was the first thing? I don't have that epistle. The epistle reading today said, brethren, God who is rich in mercy. Let us place our riches in heaven, where moth or rust doesn't corrupt, thieves don't break in and steal, and where your cars, your bikes, your houses, your lands, they're not going to be lost. the riches that you have in heaven will never be lost. So, we find that riches are really at the heart and soul of our faith in God. When John the Baptist started his preaching, I'm going to go to my notes and show you a few things about wealth and preaching and riches in the New Testament. When John the Baptist started his preaching, we find that the use of wealth lies at the heart of what he said was true repentance. Luke chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. John the Baptist was preaching the baptism of repentance. And he starts out by saying something that we shouldn't follow him on anymore. All you preachers, Reader John and Dr. Beagley, Deacon Jeff, don't start your sermon like this. This is what John the Baptist said. Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, well, we're Orthodox. No. We have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Wow, what a way to start a sermon. But the people were pretty generous, and they said to him, well, then what should we do? And he answered and said, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. He who has food, let him do likewise. You have your possessions, you have your money, share it with those who have less and have need. Well, then you might say, well, if I made more money, well, then the tax collectors came and said, teacher, what should we do? He said, collect no more than is appointed for you. And then the soldiers come. You see, we're talking about money. At every point, we're talking about what you have, your possession. So then the soldiers come and say, well, what should we do? And he says, don't intimidate anyone or accuse falsely. Be content with your wages. How many of us are content with our wages? Oh, but we're worth more. We should have more. We can always look at those who work less and have more, and they get paid too much, but we don't. Anyway, isn't that the way we are? Jesus then comes, and he begins his preaching. And what are the first words of Jesus? In Luke's gospel, the first words of Jesus are a blessing to the poor. Blessed are the poor. And his first warning and woe is, woe to you who are rich now. Wow. Lord, are you sure? John the Baptist, are you sure that's right? So this man comes and he said, Lord, I want eternal life. I want to be part of the kingdom of God, the glory of God. Well, the bottom line is this, people. Really, the bottom line is this. The king of the kingdom is the one who defines the kingdom. He is the one who calls the shots in the kingdom. If we claim to be a part of the kingdom of God, and we don't even pay attention to the king, who are we fooling? Oh Lord, I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want to have eternal life. I want all the good things of God, the good things of heaven. And Jesus then says, I love you. Does he really love you? Does he love me? Yes, he does. To this rich young ruler, he said, sell everything. Give to the poor and come follow me. I was thinking, is this because the rich young ruler wanted to be one of the 12 apostles? Maybe. Maybe. Because I'm convinced that none of the 12 apostles went around with lots of money and lots of possessions. They had one thing that God had called them to do, and that was to follow him and be one of the apostles. That was a special call, and Jesus gave a special command to those apostles. And that is, you can't be concerned at all about money or finances anymore. Leave your boats. They say to Andrew and Peter and James, leave your boats and come follow me. I'll make you fishers. They had to leave. This man, if he wanted to be one of the apostles, this is the way I'm seeing it, okay? He couldn't have anything that was going to keep him from following Christ in that apostleship. Now, just a chapter later, we have Zacchaeus, the wee little man who climbed up in the tree to see Jesus. He too, Lord, I want to see you. I want to know more about you. I want to hear. And Jesus went to his house and started sharing with him about the kingdom. And Zacchaeus says, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, I will repay four times. What did Jesus say? Did he say, you weren't listening? I just told the rich young ruler everything. Sell everything. No, he didn't say that. He said, today salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus was called by God, as you and I are called by God, as the rich young ruler is called by God, to stand before the king. And the king says to all of us, I'm first. And to receive the fullness of the blessings of the kingdom, use everything in your life to the glory of God and for the good of others. Love God and love man. And if I've given you wealth, maybe the best thing for you is to keep at least half of it, to continue producing that wealth. But give. Use your gifts. Use your resources. Use your intelligence. Use your vigor. Use everything you have to be rich with God, to bless other people's lives, to help the poor. And when you do that, you will have treasure in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.